The scripture reading this morning is taken from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Jesus had been in Sychar at the well of Jacob and had encountered the woman at the well and told her, you remember, he said to her, bring your husband. And she said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you're right about that, for you've had five, and now the one you're living with now is not your husband. And then she wondered about worship. Where shall we worship? You Jews say we should worship in Jerusalem. Jesus said, woman, it is not necessary to be anywhere. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then she goes back to her town, and many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with him, and he stayed with them 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. And after 2 days he departed for Galilee, for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they had too gone to the feast. And now we come to the text. So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water into wine. And at Capernaum there was an official whose son was ill. When the man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. And the father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. So far the reading of the word of God. Before we open this, let's seek his help in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart may be acceptable in your sight, O God, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Help us to see, O Lord, that it is only by faith that we come to know you. Only by faith do we receive what you have promised. So, Lord, bless us now this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ our Lord, what Jesus does in the physical, he is abundantly able to do in the spiritual. Jesus is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or imagine. But what Jesus calls us to do is to believe in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your ways. So faith is the victory. that overcomes the world. And this is what we see in this beautiful little story. It's more than a story. It's a fact that Jesus healed this young boy by long distance. He didn't have to be there. Jesus did not have to be at the side of this child. He simply spoke the word, and the child was healed. That is a wonderful thing. Jesus' word is powerful. His word is powerful. Jesus' word created this world. His word raised Lazarus from the dead. He spoke the word and life began. The whole story of creation centers on the word of the Lord. Do you remember what it says in Psalm 33? By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. So the word of the Lord is powerful. That's the word that is preached. It's the word that is spoken at creation, in redemption. We live by that word. We sing of it. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more could he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. So that word of the Lord was spoken, and the word of the Lord caused this young boy to live. Notice first the father's concern. The father's concern. He is a nobleman. He is an official in Herod's government. He's in Capernaum. And he hears that Jesus is in Galilee. He hears that Jesus is in the town of Cana of Galilee. And so this father, he comes and walks 20 miles, about 20 miles. Can you imagine that? That is an amazing thing. This father is so concerned. He loves his son so much. He is so moved by the need of his own son. I look at that and I think of the Human Life Sunday. Here we have those millions of babies who have been snatched out of their mother's womb and destroyed. What a difference this father had. This father had a concern for his child. He loved his child. He was thankful that God had given him his child, and now his child was at the point of death, and he's got to do something. He's got to do something for this child. As you look at the situation in our country today, not only in our country, but in the world itself, there is a careless attitude toward human life. It is a situation which is very serious indeed. You look at this father, and he comes this far, walking to find help for his child. He goes to the right place. He goes to the right person. Jesus has the answer. You know that if a person would find an egg of an American eagle and would destroy that egg of the American eagle, the fine is $5,000 or a year in prison to destroy the egg of an eagle. And that would be terrible, to destroy the egg of an eagle. How much the worse to destroy the little life of a child developing in its mother's womb. Psalm 139 says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God loves that life. He made that life. Only He could do it. We cannot make a life. When a child is born, it is truly a gift of God. And when abortion is done, it's simply destroying the life that God made. I think that the motivation for abortion is often for the mother's convenience. Maybe they can't afford another child. Maybe they just don't have time for another child. And so they take the easy way and just destroy it. What a terrible, terrible sin that is, to take what God has made and destroy it. Well, this father had a sense of decency and a sense of loyalty to that little boy of his who was dying of a disease that was beyond the father's control. But not beyond Jesus' control. So he comes to Jesus and he says, come and heal my son, for he is at the point of death. Jesus said to him, and now notice Jesus' words to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Jesus does not want us to follow him because of his power to do something. He wants us to follow him because of who he is. He is the Son of the living God. He is the one who created this world. He's the one who loves us, who gave himself for us. He does not want us to just come in order to get something. He wants us to come because we love him, because he loves us and calls us to come to him. So he says to this father, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. That's not the way it is. Jesus does not want us to depend on signs and wonders. He does not want us to think that if we get a sign, then we'll believe. No. We have to believe because he said it. He said it, I believe it. This is the truth. So the official said to him, when Jesus said, unless you see signs and wonders, you won't come. He says to Jesus, he says, Sir, Lord, my Lord, please come down before my child dies. The words in the original are an intense request, Sir, come down before my child dies. You can just see and hear the intensity on the heart of this father. He loves his son so much. He does not want him to die of a disease. He wants Jesus to come down and help him. And then notice Jesus' answer. Go your way, your son will live. Go your way, your son will live. The Lord Jesus gives his word. That word is powerful. In Psalm 29, it says, the voice of the Lord makes the mountains to tremble. The voice of the Lord is powerful. In 29, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The voice of the God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry glory. The voice of the Lord is that powerful. Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son will live." That's the voice of the Lord. That was all that was needed. Notice Jesus gave a command, "Go your way," and then a promise, "Your son will live." Those two things go together, the command of the Lord and the promise. Go your way, your son will live. Think of other instances of a command and promise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your ways. That command, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Go your way, your son will live. You find that throughout the entire scripture. Though that beautiful motif, that beautiful pattern, the command and then the promise connected with that command. Go your way, your son will live. That is how the gospel is. The gospel is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Trust in him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and he will direct your way. The command and the promise go together. And so he says to the Father, go your way. That's the command. And here's the promise, your son will live. That is the essence of the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That is the beautiful direction of the Lord. And so the Father goes his way. He obeys immediately. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. What a wonderful truth that is. Jesus gives his life. He gives his word, and his word is life. It's that word, like I said, that Jesus spoke at Lazarus's tomb. There he was in a cemetery. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. And the word of the Lord gave life to Lazarus. The word of the Lord is powerful. It's a wonderful truth. And so the Father goes, and his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. And the Father knew that that was the very hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So Christ's word is not dependent on being close at hand to the person to whom it's spoken. His word is powerful. He healed by long distance. And then the Lord crowned his faith with this wonderful blessing. He himself believed, and his whole household, the whole family, believed. You see how God's providence, which was the fact that this son was sick, led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. There you see an adult, a father, led by his child. The child's sickness brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing how the Lord uses these events in our lives to draw us to himself. This is how he does it all the time. The Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly much more than we can ever ask or imagine. That's faith. Faith in that word of God. He spoke and it happened. That's how God created the world. And that's how he creates us. And that's how he created every little child that's born. He simply speaks the word and it happens. The word of the Lord is powerful. The word of the Lord gives majesty. And so we are called upon to live by faith. As we will sing, my faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. That word of the Lord is what healed that little boy. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come into your presence now this morning. We thank you, O Lord, that the word of the Lord is powerful, that the word of the Lord brings about healing and blessing. The creation itself was the result of your word. Lord, forgive all of us of our sins, and so bless us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.